About your performance, you work a lot with analog equipment, and how did you get into that, and how important is the relation between generated sound and analog sound, or a relation between analog equipment and generated mm-hmm. sound?
For me, the sound is, because the sound is created by photographic means, so this is where I'm interested in analog, because for me, film is more about light, and it's also more about like the chemistry of the film and working in the dark room, the photographic dark room, in a way that you can manipulate the film, the chemicals, but also the equipment. You can adapt the equipment to use this system. So working with sound, it's printing sound by photographic means, contact printing, or photogram, it's sometimes called, but also there are some other pieces of equipment in the film laboratory, so you can use the area of the film strip that is normally reserved for printed sound. But this printed sound is created normally in a film commercial film laboratory, but in a very DIY situation, in a situation where you can adapt and make a makeshift type of sound, then you can print in this area as well, just exposing. So for me, I'm interested in the way that sound is created when you use light for creating the sound. So the light is creating the sound because it's being converted into electronic signals. So it's very analog sound because it's just light which is being modulated.
You're saying that it's an analog sound, and yet it's being produced digitally in a way, but what would the light cause, the rhythm, the specific mm-hmm. rhythm that would define as analog? And I know that you use like found footages and found material, which of course by the means it's analog, but mm-hmm. Are you using analog tapes also for that, or are you converting it to?
No, the sound I'm making, so you can use like patterns, and then you can film the patterns, or you can film the image. So I was using waveforms from insects like cicadas, and a collection of these, and I filmed those, and then I also filmed patterns and texture, and then after filming that, cutting up the little film strips, processing that film, and then laying it back down onto new film stock to re-expose. Mm-hmm. So again, they are coming from a printed picture or image that I can refilm, and then use that, I refilm it to a certain size. So this is a picture that's being printed into this area. I think you were referring to one film I did, it had a voice like sampled, but this is sampled again very manually. This has come from two different film prints. One was called Voice of the Insect, and the other one was about photons. It's an educational film about light. So I created a negative of these films, these found footage, and then sampled only the short sentence. And again, this is coming off a film print. So there's a sample from the film print, and this is a very manual way to sample. It's a very time-consuming way to sample a tiny piece of film.
Your interest for analog equipment is probably more diverse than just the outcome of the performance, so you must be very well acquainted with second-hand markets and all
yes,
this.
Yes, but definitely, I'm always looking for equipment. It's taken many, many years, over 10 years, to collect enough equipment and to learn and to discover, because I am just self-taught. In Australia, there was no one who could teach me this technique, so I had to research and discover for myself. So I've learned everything the painful way or the very long way, but this means that then I know this very well because I have to research as well. But for my job, my day job is as a audiovisual archivist for the State Library of Queensland, so I have to also train in the history of film technology and in how film is manufactured and made and how it deteriorates and decomposes, and then how to repair chemically. It's like I trained in the science of audiovisual archiving as well. So for me, this is, you know, an interest of mine, because it's very much about the material and the process. It's very process-based work.
And in the first part of the performance, or in the first performance, you used your body as well as a canvas for mm-hmm. projection. And I'm interested of How much do you work with your body in the performance, and also which images you used, whether the narrative or mm-hmm. the personality of the people? I think I recognize, I'm not sure, mm-hmm. Einstein with his tongue stuck out or something like that.
No, that image I think you were talking about is... I collect a lot of ephemera, like found records. I collect a lot of vinyl and postcards that are unusual, like educational or showing images of women. But this vinyl I found was a record for beauty therapy. So this is the image inside. There was many different expressions all laid out that one woman would demonstrate how you can do facial expression. So these I copied, like scanned and altered, and then print, and then filming this. The other images came from, I collect a lot of horror iconography, because that's one of my favourite interests, is the horror or the gothic. And ideas that stem from there are very psychological. What does this image representation of horror mean to other people? So I also, then I scan and I alter these images from my collection of the horror books, and then use these. So there's images coming from that have been, again, this is like a sampling of that face or that icon of horror. And again, I think the women is similar. It's a similar horror. But another section in there was I collect also like evolution books. And this is like a series I make and resize the faces. This was a bit darker, these images, but they're like a monkey turning into a man. I think for me, because my interest is really around expanded cinema, which is about to look at the industrial system of film, the commercial side of film, and then to take apart. Expanded cinema is a historical term where artists sought to rearrange what the film industry had become, which is the locked system of projector and screen audience. So in expanded cinema, you must rearrange the elements that you work with, lighting, audience, body. But it's very physical, the way that you need to work with the machinery. So again, I did this one as an experiment to see, you know, I was just sick of it being on a screen. So I just decided to see if this would work or not. And it was a fast idea, and I just made that and shot this fast.
Because you're working with preserving, you're undoubtedly aware of the ephemeral nature of performance. Mm. And also digital art, or whatever we are talking about. So are you considering also the ways of how to preserve your performances in a way of, mm-hmm. of video footages or whatever mm-hmm. documentation do you use for your work? Mm.
Well, I'm neglecting very much to document my work, and every time I perform the films are getting more scratched. And the other night the films were tearing, so at least I can repair this, but it's very time-consuming to reprint the films. But I spend so much time conserving other films that I don't have the time to do this for my own. So, but again, this is another problem that has occurred historically, because this expanded cinema, people involved with this scene, it's a point of discussion that it is ephemeral, so it is very hard to document. It has always been hard to document. In fact, it's only for live. So that kind of means as well that you need to keep staging this work. In Australia, I curate a festival, an event called Other Film, and this is to stage and present work. So many of the filmmakers from the original era of expanded cinema, from the 1960s and 70s, we get them, if they're still active, we get them to perform their works from this time. So, but it's very hard to document. Still images kind of work well, but typically very hard to capture because of low light.
Yeah, especially, and you cannot get the dramaturgy that you mm-hmm. use.
Yes, because it's experiential. Mm-hmm. Mostly, though, this is a problem for me for my installation work. Another side of my work is I make installations, which is another chance to look at the way in which you can use the elements of film. So these installations, they are experiential, so you really cannot document. You can only show maybe an idea from that, one element from that. The installation work, I use a lighting mixer and lights connected, and the lights are stroboscopic, or they're pulsing. And I use a film projector, and the images I usually use maybe are faces. I film people for this, though, and I'm filming just their face and expression. Another one, I'm filming a body, and this looks like a dead body or a living corpse, but these are bodies that I've staged. I'm projecting these and then using a piece of two-way mirror. Do you know the two-way mirror? Like, so if you blend the projection with the lighting, and then you, the viewer, are being reflected. So the two images, you, the viewer, and the faces are melding depending on how the light pulses. So this installation, and then often I'll use sound in there too. So you cannot capture how it is to be with the sound in the face because you can't film the audience. So
it's often discussed with the sort of films is the idea, not only what you've mentioned, using the body and mm-hmm. all the elements that you can that become involved in like you said, in your installation, the person who's viewing, but also the idea of linear time, which is completely mm-hmm. deconstructing, and should ask ourselves, what does that do to us, or what, on the other hand, does the regular film production do to mm-hmm. us, because the time is always yeah. from the beginning to the end. Mm-hmm. So are you considering this aspect maybe?
Yes, more so with the printed sound work, because this is durational, and I was not able to stage it as I would have wanted to the other night, because the projector was tearing the film. But when you use the loops, then you can have this durational, and you should have like a phasing effect. So this, again, is a way which, if you work with film as a loop instead of just a single reel, or if you add other elements in. I was also adding elements such as a little synth and the vinyl as well. So, I mean, you can change then, and you can add a duration. But yes, when you have a single reel, it's a more of a locked system. But again, this is sometimes you can use the film projectors and not have to use the light beam either, so just for listening. But you asked me about the documentation, but I wanted to say more clearly, though, that that's why we started running the festival and events in Australia. We run it mostly in Brisbane, but then also taking the shows to Melbourne and Sydney, because it's, you know, I mean, Australia is very far from the US or Europe, so once someone comes there, then you must go to every city in Australia to do the show. But we cannot see this work. You can read about the work and research and explore the ideas, but you have to have this stage to realise and understand fully. In this type of work, then people don't like just to watch the documentation. This is okay maybe for research or for getting a sense of the work, but it's the documentation and the work are totally different. This artist working with expanded cinema do not like to show the documentation. This is like a reference only. It's a problem because it's the same if you have something that's made on film, like a film print, and it's intended to be shown on film, the original format in which it was made. And if someone makes a video copy, this is very bad because a lot of the avant-garde films, historical and contemporary, they do not look the same. Like, they don't translate very well to another format.